Hi, this is Dan. It was on this day, May 19th, 1899, that representatives of the First International Peace Conference contemplated their awesome responsibility. It's a great story. Let me tell it to you. Wars abounded in the years leading up to 1899. The expanding technology was making the world a smaller place, and as a result, many saw the need for some form of international arbitration promoting bloodless solutions to international controversies. Pulpits, the press, chambers of commerce, and other organizations raised their voices in favor. Then in January 1899, the Tsar of Russia sent an invitation to leading nations to a peace conference. And on May 18, 1899, 100 delegates from 26 states assembled at The Hague for the convention's opening. The Minister of Foreign Affairs for the Netherlands opened the meetings with solemn words, reminding the delegates that their purpose was to learn to live together like brothers, help each other in times of need, and endeavor to discover a way to limit these never-ending armaments and prevent the calamities which threaten the entire world. That first day stressed the crisis and the responsibilities of the delegates to meet it. Well, they adjourned at 2:30. And then, on this day, May 19th, nothing happened. They didn't meet. They didn't meet again until the 20th. The convention allowed for a day for the delegates to contemplate their responsibilities and mingle with their fellow delegates. They needed to get to know each other. Now, the press described the event as a disarmament conference. However, when it became evident that nations would never give up their weapons, the press declared the convention failed. However, that was far from the truth. On May 20th, when they adjourned again, they discussed many things. And then they drafted conventions for the regulations of warfare on land and sea. They made forward strides for adopting a convention for the peaceful adjustment of international differences, which was adopted by every nation except Turkey. The Pan American Conference endorsed it in 1901. It was actually quite a success. For first, it provided for bloodless appeals for grievances through mediation. Teddy Roosevelt did this with Japan and Russia in 1905. It also provided for international commissions of inquiry, which dealt with differences of opinion on points of fact. For example, during the Russian and Japanese War in 1904, England and Russia appointed an international commission of inquiry to investigate an attack the Russian Baltic squadron launched on English fishing boats. See, the English people were angry over this, clamoring for war. However, the commission patiently and meticulously uncovered the facts, and as a result, Russia acknowledged their wrong and paid restitution, avoiding more war. You see, the time involved in the investigation cooled the hot tempers, and arbitration prevailed over the misinformed populace's impatient rush to shed blood. Furthermore, it provides for the Permanent Court of Arbitration, which consists of judges from leading countries appointed for six-year terms. The court's job was to make decisions on international issues brought before it, and it sat for the first time on September 15, 1902. The court concluded 33 treaties among European countries between 1903 and 1905, binding them to the court in cases arising from the treaties. Specific principles guided the court. Their rulings couldn't interfere with the vital interests, independence, or honor of the countries involved. The successful court settled many disputes to everyone's satisfaction. Now, disarmament is a universal hope, for we all long for the day when, as scripture says, people turn their swords into plowshares. Until then, arbitration is the best practical solution. Arbitration forces people to learn about people from other countries. It dispels prejudices and fosters peace. It was on this day, May 19th, 1899, representatives of the First International Peace Conference contemplated their awesome responsibility.